This is implausible engineering.
Seriously? I really don't think so. That's never
this is
work.
Not logical.
No.
It's not true. No. It's impossible. No. That's you just cannot bollocks. Be serious.
Episode 2. Embracing your inner robot.
Well, that's just bullshit.
Brain in a robot. In a step towards not only techno-evolution, but also potential immortality, some future generation of humanity may develop the ability to transfer their brains into robot bodies and hence have very prolonged lives. But there are various complications in trying to engineer this. Assuming you have all the vital arteries and veins attached to tubes which feed a nutrient solution in and out, and that solution contains some kind of hemoglobin carrier that can donate oxygen and remove carbon dioxide, then that's great, although all you are really doing is replacing the life support systems that were previously provided by a human body. Remember that your brain is still a brain, and not in itself immortal. There are some known brain pathologies that arise from problems within its human body host, but there's plenty of other brain pathologies that arise from the brain itself, and a growing number of those start occurring as the brain ages. It may be the case that a future technological civilization that can keep a transplanted brain alive in a robot will have no problem curing that brain of all its possible pathologies as well, although that will require some fairly invasive chemical, if not physical, manipulation, and perhaps some fundamental genetic re-engineering so that your brain develops the capacity to swap out old cells for new cells. So, with all that going on, both a new artificial body and a somewhat modified brain, it's necessary to start asking whether it's really you anymore. A robot with a brain in it doesn't have to eat, so taste and smell receptors become a bit redundant. Indeed, why limit yourself to your former human specifications when you can equip your robot body with all sorts of enhanced physical and chemical senses? For example, it could have a visual range that extends into the ultraviolet and infrared. So your enhanced brain, sitting in its mechanical body, would be receiving quite different sensory inputs than it used to receive. So while you might still convince yourself you are still you, catch up with an old friend for coffee that you won't drink but you might undertake a discrete spectroscopic analysis of, and that old friend is likely to say, you know, you've changed. Of course, in reality, life is a bit like this, although in less dramatic steps. While it's reasonable to feel you are who you were yesterday, your connection with the squalling infant you were at birth, or even the geeky teenager you later became, are fairly tenuous connections, given the physical, cognitive, and personality changes you've undergone since. So, while your transition to your new robot self may also transform what was you into something a bit different, that something a bit different will be just as determined to maintain its personal integrity and survive another day, and it will also have your driver's license, house keys, and credit cards. Of course, making all that work will require substantial modifications to any current legal frameworks that establish identity, since you'll have lost your fingerprints, your face, and your retinas, remembering you are going to replace your eyes with much more versatile optical sensors. But, presuming lots of people follow this path, when the option becomes available, it's likely their lawyers will come up with a solution. But anyway, what's all this quasi-philosophical rambling doing in a space science podcast? Well, it's worth considering whether our brain in a robot descendants would make great astronauts. After all, they already have self-contained life support and may be able to endure somewhat higher acceleration forces, although since they still have that delicate squishy brain inside their titanium skull, that advantage may only be slight. But the reasons for a brain in a robot to become an astronaut are quite compelling. Much of our human lives on Earth are spent pursuing commodities, accommodation, and comfort. Whereas a brain in a robot could happily just stand out in the rain, perhaps passing the time by watching a 3D surround sound movie that's played through its optical and audio sensors, or it could just go to sleep, which the brain will still presumably need to do, unless the interventions that keep the brain in homeostasis might also eliminate the need for brain rest. So, as a brain in a robot, you could not only be mostly immortal, but also not need to sleep, which of course means you will have a lot of time on your hands. Also, a brain in a robot might not be that keen on the company of others. As a brain in a robot, you run the ever-present risk of someone hacking into your robot control systems, forcing you to march to some back-alley lab where your brain would be unceremoniously scooped out to be replaced by the brain of someone else who had paid the right money on the black market. So, particularly if you have a top-of-the-line robot body, going off-world to explore the universe might start looking like the best option.
Hello, Steve.
Oh, hi, Bridget.
This is only the second episode of Implausible Engineering, and Steve, you're already doing robots.
Well, we did aliens in the first episode.
Have you considered that there might be more thought-provoking issues to cover than just robots and aliens?
Well, I didn't want to go straight to black holes. That's getting a bit cliched these days.
I see.
So do you like how the new series is playing out, Bridget?
It's robots and aliens.
I know, right?
Steve, what I'm really asking is, do you have a plan?
Well, I'm definitely going to sneak in black holes somewhere. When do you think I should do it?
I don't have strong feelings on the matter.
Yeah, me neither.
Yes, I can see that. Steve, maybe people are expecting you to say what you really think and feel, even if it's just what you think and feel about new directions in science.
Well, that's easy. It's...
Stop. Don't say it's cool.
Well, sure it's cool, Bridget. In fact...
Don't say it's 2.7 Kelvin either.
Yeah, heard that one.
Steve, I'm just suggesting you try something different.
Like, not robots.
Exactly.
Evolving into robots. As we like to point out on Cheap Astronomy, us humans, like the dinosaurs and the trilobites and the blue-green algae, are just steps in a meandering evolutionary pathway to nowhere particular. It's not like the blue-green algae, trilobites or dinosaurs ever aspired to be something better, it's just that some individuals with certain traits were more successful than others, so they had more progeny, and so on. Humans might seem to have disrupted that process in rejecting the survival of the fittest paradigm, and instead cooperating towards common goals, including helping those less fit to survive and reproduce. Such behavior is also found in other species, but we've taken it to an extreme through the application of technology. For example, producing insulin for diabetics. So is evolution finished then? Well, maybe we are moving beyond survival of the fittest, but evolution is still clearly apparent in our technology, and maybe that's where the next step lies. Still, we will need quite a few steps towards a self-replicating population of robots, and most of those steps will still require humans to facilitate them. So we are more likely to aid the rise of the robots than for them to take over. If Skynet did become self-aware at this point in history, it would also become aware that the infrastructure just wasn't there to start producing an army of sociopathic robots bent on the destruction of humanity, and so Skynet would just lay low and wait for a better opportunity. Indeed, self-awareness may not be all it's cracked up to be. There are plenty of organisms on our planet that will eat, reproduce, evade destruction, and defend themselves without ever contemplating their purpose in life. Indeed, for all our philosophizing about free will, We all carry a lot of genetic pre-programming that both guides and constrains what we do. But for our evolutionary future to be the development of robots capable of self-replication and of spreading out across the universe, those robots will have to want to do it. Humans are driven by a desire to show off, to raise their social standing, to accumulate worldly goods, and even to sometimes do good deeds and discover new things. But if we're brutally honest with ourselves, all that is mostly about gaining rushes of dopamine, which we receive as rewards for fulfilling genetically programmed tasks that relate to our survival and reproduction, even though we've now socially constructed all that into a belief that working hard and raising a family will give you a deep sense of fulfillment. So, while we may be able to program robots to remain fully operational through regular recharging and self-repair, motivating those robots to excel at such tasks is another thing altogether. For life on Earth, such striving is partly about competition for resources, but it's also about having an intrinsic desire to compete in the first place. So, a prosperous, self-perpetuating robot species may need some kind of intrinsic reward system so that they not only fulfill predefined tasks, but they really, really want to fulfill those tasks and do those tasks better and faster than the other robots can, which will also mean robots striving to manufacture better copies of themselves. Once you achieve that, you not only have a population of self-replicating robots, but a population of evolving robots. So, what might our robot descendants look like? Some robots we have now are humanoid, but most of them aren't. Think Mars rovers, self-driving cars, and assembly line robots, just for example. Most humanoid robots we do have are either novelties, or they're built to use equipment that's also been designed for use by humans. The human form just isn't as efficient as we'd like to think. After all, it is the result of iterative compromises made over millions of years in response to a changing environment, so that the latest version of a hominid is a tree climber that became a biped so that it could use its hands for other things. Of course, human hands are great for versatility, but that's mostly a case of being a jack of all trades and master of none. Assembly plant robots, designed for just one highly dexterous task, will manage that task much better than a human could, even though the human could do 100 other things that the assembly plant bot couldn't. Humans are also quite good at long-distance running, at least some of us are. But against a self-driving car with a full tank or battery, forget about it. So, our robotic descendants aren't likely to look much like us at all. They'll be designed to best fulfill whatever roles they're designed to do. Indeed, it's likely that members of a spacefaring species of robots won't be the crew of spaceships, they'll be the spaceships.
That was Implausible Engineering, a Cheap Astronomy production.